The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Future Proof Radio with host Shane Wolf. We can definitely change the world if we start with ourselves. In today's show, Shane and his guests will show you how the environment can be improved at home, at work, and in the community, as well as improve your health and save money. Now, here is Shane Wolf.
Hi, and welcome to Future Proof Radio. My name's Shane Wolf. Today's show, we're going to talk a bit about my book, How to Future-Proof Your Home, and I've got a special guest from Costa Rica. His name is Filico, and we'll introduce him right away. Just to give you a little bit of information, you can email me at shane@futureproofradio.com during the show, or there'll be information to call in later on if you like. But first of all, this show is about green buildings, but it's more importantly about building a better world. And before I get into anything, I'm a professional engineer, and my lawyer advised me to make sure that people understand that this is a show where I speak in generalities, and I'm not giving professional advice. But with that said, there's a lot that you'll get out of this. Just understand, though, that engineers are paid to give specific advice. So with that, I'd like to welcome my guest, Filico from Costa Rica, and maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, Filico, and what we're here to talk about.
Sure. Can everyone hear me clearly?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you once again for inviting me onto your show. More than really happy to really talk about the fact about sustainability and to support the cause for it. And I think it was a very good initiative that Shane brought me on here to really practice and to encourage the point of view of creating a more healthy environment, living environment, and also a way that we can also protect the environment that we are in. I can share a bit more of my history.
Well, how about we just get into talking about, Filico and I met recently at Awesomeness Fest, and Filico owns a hotel, and we talked about building an eco center, and we kind of went back and forth about how to do that. And so Filico's got some really cool ideas. We spent probably 2 hours together talking about that. I don't know.
Just to follow up really on what Shane was bringing about is really, well, my hotel is basically an ecological center here. We have probably 16 acres of already protected land that we just have around this area. And our structure is basically built surrounding the immediate environment. So our cabins and our whole structure is built around the forest itself. And it's just to prove that your living quarters and places can be easily adapted so that it can be inside the forest and not hurting the environment, and also using the best of its resources. You're in the jungle. You don't feel that you're in a place that's in a concrete block or anything that's relative to anything that's really man-made. It really feels that it's blended in. And the idea of creating the eco center is to really find better practices on how to build structures, build homes, build living areas that are not only efficient but also cost effective, and also giving out a better output on just living in the area. And at the same time, my interest is to really promote the idea that you don't need to have a big investment or have a big carbon footprint on the place just to make your place adequate or sustainable.
Well, where we really connected to is like, you know, this is a lifestyle type of thing. It's something which is possible, and it's something that I think a lot of people in the world really want to see happen. And I think a lot of people are kind of, if you listen to my first show, I talked about, you know, it's very difficult for people to get into this because there's a lot of barriers with regards to knowledge. There's the cost barrier, which people, I think, is more of a perception. You know, there's a lot of professionals who can do this work out there, but people typically, they don't know how to, where to turn to and how to get into this. And where we really connected was, you know, this is a holistic approach. It's an idealistic, not an idealistic, but it's a situation that we can and should create. It's freedom. It's, you know, and it's the reason that Filico and I think this is a great opportunity to discuss things is because Costa Rica is pretty much the exact opposite environment as where I live in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. We were Skyping today, and I've got 2 feet of snow, and it was minus 20. And what was the temperature where you are?
Right now, we think let me check my thermometer. I think we're around 29 degrees Celsius with 90% humidity.
So that's kind of like what I feel in the summertime without the extreme humidity. But I mean, so where I live, we get both extremes. And so that's why I wrote my book for this climate, is because there's not a lot of information for the very extreme. And we typically, in North America, build to a very mild climate, and therefore we are very dependent on fossil fuels. And we're going to talk a bit about that later. But the thing is that we're... What we would like to do is give people more tools, and that's what my book is a tool to understand, you know, that we can build a better world and understand the principles to do that, and that's kind of what this show is about. By the way, you could get the book at futureproofmybuilding.com, and if you join the mailing list, I give a great discount for the ebook. There's a second edition that I wrote that is for more warm climates. My first edition is pretty much specifically for very cold climates. But if you're listening to this too and you'd like to promote more environmental awareness, I have an affiliate program which I still need to test out because I had set it up before and it wasn't perfect. I paid someone and unfortunately it didn't work perfectly. But if you go to the affiliate link on the website there, you can sign up and I will send you the information on how to do that once I've tested it fully. But it's a great way to raise money for environmental groups or charities. And basically, I want people to understand this information as much as possible. And it's great that we can talk about an actual project here, and we actually put together a page which you can find on futureproofmybuilding.com. It's just simply a sign-up form to learn more information about the thing. And maybe, Filico, just talk about what you want to do at this facility.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Shane. Well, just to give you a brief up. And the property is adjoining to the hotel. There's about 18 acres of untouched land that's been primarily just as a forest itself. It has still like predominantly about 30 species of wild birds living on the area. There's a running creek that runs through in the middle of the ground. And the type of topography or the type of land structure is that it's kind of hilly, but there's also some land structures that are just flat ground. And the idea is that I want to create also an organic farming area, which is basically producing the natural produce of, you know, basic fruits, vegetables, and in a way of a permaculture, which is it's It's a farm that's growing on its own, and it will organically grow and increment by itself. So without using any more fertilizers or any other pesticides to control its production. And at the same time, what we're trying to do is to create that jungle center whereby we're creating a center, a small community, a basic area where people can join in and promote what is the concept of, you know, healthy living, organic living, and also to do organic cooking at one point. And my strongest point of idea is to really create a jungle center, as in like a reunion center where, you know, people can create retreats in this area. People who are really experts in, let's say, you know, meditation or therapies, or even to learn more about, you know, sustainable building practices, they can see it first and foremost how you can actually build simple structures and actually have it adapted in the rainforest environment. It's using recyclable products and using the best benefits of using natural lighting and, you know, using natural air. And that's just a 10% glimpse of what can actually be done. There's so much more to it too.
That's totally true. And like what Filico is talking about is different areas of LEED. LEED is the green building standard in North America. To take that a step further, there's another building standard called the Living Building Challenge, which is like the ultimate goal of sustainability, where basically a building is built to it represents a flower is kind of their motto. It's something which is beautiful, you know, adapted to the environment, produces its own energy, produces its own water, uses sustainable materials. I talk about LEED and the Living Building Challenge in my book a little bit there, and just kind of give you the different areas and the different standards that you can go after, which guarantee the topics that we're talking about now. We've got 2 minutes to the break. After the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the book, but I really want to emphasize that what we're talking about here, like with this eco center and you know, growing food, you know, that's not something which is out of our reach. We could be designing buildings, we could be designing communities to use waste heat from mines, or from where I live, we've got a lot of underground potash mines where we could be using some of that waste heat, or we could be using waste heat from industrial activities. There's so much waste in our society, which if we put our priorities towards fulfilling human needs and, you know, really being sustainable, all of these things are possible. And we'd love to do a project that actually brings people together and makes this information accessible. So if you're actually interested in this, I closed the page that I had up, but go to futureproofmybuilding.com. Join my mailing list there. I'll send you information about the book, give you a deal on the ebook, and you can navigate to the blog and actually find the sign up page under the home menu there. And we'll be right back after this.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at FutureProofMyBuilding.com/register.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788, or send an email to shane@futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm with my my guest here, Filico, from Costa Rica, and we're talking about how to build green and how to show people that this is possible. We were talking before the break about building an eco center out in Costa Rica. And I guess the real question is why don't we do this as a society? And this is kind of how Filico and I bonded when we first, kind of met. And like, we both believe that, you know, our society could be doing things a lot differently. We're currently very dependent on what people would call cheap energy. Here in Canada, that's from fossil fuels, primarily natural gas, to heat our homes in the winter. Right now, I said earlier, it's minus 20 here. That's very cold. And with the way that we conventionally build our homes, you know, if anyone here is listening in Canada, don't take my word for it that we're dependent on this stuff. Just shut your furnace off for a few hours and you'll know right away. And I think that that's completely, it's completely unnecessary. In my book, I interviewed my mentor, Dr. Rob Dumont, who actually lives a few blocks from me here in Saskatoon, and his house is so efficient that it doesn't need a furnace. It uses 90% less energy than what a standard home built here in Canada would use. And the history behind this is that in the 1970s, him and a group of people in Saskatchewan here built a project called the Saskatchewan Conservation Home. And that was like one of the world's first ultra-low energy buildings, which eventually morphed into the passive house standard. The Germans, some physicists in Germany, Dr. Wolfgang Feist, he did a lot of work to model and to find the economic, the best economic bang for your buck with regard to building, and that's how they created the passive house standard. So I'm going to have a guest in 2 weeks who Dr. Guido Wimmers with the Passive House Institute here in Canada. He actually designed and worked on the first passive house in North America. It was the Austria Pavilion at the 2010 Vancouver Olympics in Whistler. So we're going to talk about that later. But one thing that Filico and I talked about earlier today was, you know, the dependence on energy in society. Here in Saskatchewan, here in North America, we're very dependent on natural gas, which comes from fracking. What is the energy that you guys have down in Costa Rica there, Filico?
Well, typically speaking, like natural electricity and natural lighting here, that's all coming from the current from the factory. It's all actually hydroelectric. It's actually 90% hydroelectric, and the remainder 5% of the region is all wind power. There's only maybe 1 or 2% because of remote regions that use actual coal-burning energy to produce electricity in the country.
See, and that's quite a contrast, because like where I live, We're very dependent on coal-fired power. We do have rivers, but next door in Manitoba, it's pretty much all hydroelectric electricity as well. And from what I understand, and I'm not an expert in this, but we're not very connected to that grid, and it would be nice to get a lot more energy from renewable sources such as that. Canada is actually one of the world leaders in hydroelectricity. There's just certain areas like here in Saskatchewan and Alberta that don't have a lot of hydroelectric power. We don't have a huge renewable mixture either, which I think would be a huge benefit to our society. And it would be something which is not causing pollution. It's not something that we're dependent on. It's a lot less likely that the rivers are going to dry up than the gas is going to stay as cheap as it currently is. And we talked about fracking briefly, but I don't know if anyone here listening has watched the movie Gasland, but I highly recommend the movie. Filico and I spent some time earlier today. We talked about, you know, growing food and how important that is. But when you have practices to get cheap energy that are actually responsible for polluting groundwater and polluting an area, that groundwater, if it does get polluted, and there's a lot of evidence that this is happening on a bigger scale than we're led to believe, that ends up in our food because there's fracking chemicals, there's natural gas. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I want people to understand, is that engineers are, in Canada, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but we actually take an oath to protect the public and the environment when we get our iron ring. It's kind of like the Hippocratic Oath for doctors. And I don't know if a lot of people in the public know that, but there is an onus to protect the public and the environment. And I think that the practices that we do need to be regulated to ensure that businesses for profit aren't completely exploiting these resources and cutting corners. Because you see in places, and this is just a normal part of the economy, that the onus is to make profit. And there's nothing wrong with profit or with being efficient. In fact, I'm all about efficiency. But when people aren't regulated or held to a standard, then people will cut corners to increase profit. And this is actually one of the main points in my book, is that traditionally in Canada, there hasn't been an energy guide or an energy efficiency code for buildings. And that is one of the reasons that we've made ourselves so dependent on energy. The same thing could be said in the States, I believe. I don't know the whole story in the States, but if you look across the sector of, like, every sector in the economy, buildings, which are everywhere that humans are responsible for 40% of the energy used in our society and 40% of the greenhouse gases. And they're also a major user of materials. So they're the biggest drain on our society in terms of how we use energy and how we consume. But the crazy part of the whole situation is that they're actually a system that can give back to nature, that can give back to society. And if you've been to the homepage for my show and see the promo for the show, the background is a city in Germany, which actually produces four times as much electricity as it uses, and that's actually called a net positive community. It's something that gives back to the world, and I think that that's something that we should be shooting for as a society. Why would we want to create a society where we're dependent on something which is running out, which is causing pollution, which is limited, and ultimately bad for our health and environment, when we could be saying, hey, let's use money, a tool to to put value into the world and pay people locally to do a better job and make sure that they're doing a good job so that we're not dependent on something. And this is something which is happening all over Europe. And I believe it's in Costa Rica too. Do you know anything about your building codes or anything like that in Costa Rica? You must have some kind of a plan.
The government does not impose per se a strict construction code, because there's a lot of disparity and there's a lot of permits that people don't really will abide from. But on the side of, let's say, the tourism sector, you know, so the overall architectural schools, they do say that if you do decide to go towards more eco-sustainable and more healthy and eco-conscious construction ways, they do promote different incentives, and they do a lot of payoffs and write-offs, so that, you know, the idea is if you are really promoting more the sustainable practices of using recyclable energy, to use practices within the office, and also reduction of wastage and things like that, they give you incentives, and also they help you promote more. So the company and also the countries on the private and public sector, they're promoting in that sense that they will give you more encouragement for being able to help promote ecological practices. Especially in hotels, they give you free information, free training for the staff. They give construction people better products, and they do make, more credits or finances for these measures, even for solar energy, for example.
See, and that's a huge thing, is incentives are what kind of drive the economy and give people if you don't give an incentive, the incentive currently is almost sheer profit. If you say, hey, we're going to pay people to be more efficient, and there used to be incentive programs like this here in Canada, but they've disappeared with our current government. And I personally disagree with that, because I think what we should be doing is setting ourselves free rather than digging ourselves into a deeper hole, particularly as the rest of the world comes online, as China and India start using more energy. Why would an area of the world such as where I live, which is completely dependent on energy to survive, why would we want to build our society in a way where we're making ourselves more dependent on something which we know is going to cost us more and know is going to run out at some point? This is the low-hanging fruit, and the information, as you said, has been available for a long time. And until people are, incentivized or held accountable for it, things don't really change. And that's kind of the point of the book, is to say, if you care about this, here's what you need to understand. And here are the people that can do that. And that's what we're working to provide, is provide that knowledge and provide that, facilitate those connections, because there are a lot of professionals out there who really want to do the right thing, who are trained, and it's difficult to market these things because insulation isn't sexy, windows aren't something that most people think to install to improve their energy efficiency, and I talk about all of those things in the book, which you can get at futureproofmybuilding.com. Join the mailing list, and I'll send you a lot of information about that. And we got to go to a break right here, but when we come back, we'll talk more about the things that we can do to reduce our dependence on this system, and how we can build better systems that can free us and make us more sustainable. So stay with us.
The experts. Call toll free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788, or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Hi, and welcome back. Before the break there, Filico and I were talking about, you know, the dangers of being dependent on cheap, quote-unquote, energy, which causes problems in the environment. And, you know, like, I might sound like I'm bashing on this stuff. Everybody in our current paradigm needs to have a job to support themselves, and we put a lot of emphasis on doing things economically efficiently. But what I want to say is that, you know, there's a lot of alternatives out there that people aren't aware of, and the green movement takes a lot of flack for being more expensive, and that's not necessarily true if you understand the principles behind it. And that's what my book is about. To summarize, it's first about conservation. You want to save energy before you start producing it with renewable energy. That's by far the cheapest and easiest means to do it. And it actually produces many times more jobs than fossil fuels. And I give presentations about this and talk about it. And if you're into this subject, there's lots of stuff I mentioned in my first podcast there show that group Blue Green Canada has put together statistics. I believe it's 15 jobs for every $1 million created for energy efficiency versus 2 in the oil sands, which is quite a staggering difference. But without picking on any industry, the reality is that there's a lot of jobs to be made and a lot of benefits to being efficient and reducing our dependence and to moving into the next phase of our society, which is a cleaner, more equitable, healthier society where, I would personally like to work less and have more time to give of my talents and skills. And I believe that that's more the purpose of life than having a job. And it fits in well with the wellness center that we were talking about earlier. You know, let's build systems where we can, heal ourselves and heal our planet and heal each other. And, this is a great way to do that is to start thinking about our homes and our buildings and our infrastructure as ways to do that. During the break, too, we were talking about, well, I'll let Filico talk a little bit about what we were talking about.
Well, I think Shane is really at the forefront of this information. That's why he's so adamant and very proud to present it, because he has really a clear viewpoint of that, the mistakes are still happening now in the industries all over the world, actually. And especially where he's hitting at home, is like he's seen that still, like, there's still people not aware of that. There's only simple measures that people can do. It's cost effective. It's lower investments. It's not as, you know, high investment as people think. And it's something that you can do that can immediately change and reduce the climate impact that you have, because in the end, we only have one world, one region, one home. So why not make that choice to make it easier for yourself and save more at the same time, and make it more, you know, energy efficient? And those are the really main points that we want to cover right now. It's just like, for example, for the EcoCenter, if instead of having imported products on cement and using brick and mortar, that's always been the conventional way, and then using the truckloads of things, why not use renewable resources that you find in the immediate area, that you find really easy to apply, and you find that you're spending much less to build the structure. You actually reduce on the electrical bill that you have to pay every month, and you're using a lot of like the heating and the cooling structures that you probably need to have like 5 air conditioners to do it, and then other filtering systems. And it's not trying to find a specific special architect, but just having really practical ways of doing things that, that's why Shane also wrote the book, is to really give the audience a general accessible way to really reach out and really understand that simple conservation methods can be actually applied on a day-to-day basis. And it's really out there. It's just a matter of putting your nose into just small details, and it actually makes things happen.
See, like, you're not going to be an expert after reading my book. I'm not trying to make people into architects or into lead accredited professionals, but I mean, if you do work in that in construction, if you don't know some of the stuff in my book, and I've run into a lot of people since I started down this path who don't know the things that are in my book, and it's actually very, it's great reinforcement to the fact that I'm doing what I'm doing. And I mean, without being critical of people, like, everybody is out there trying to make a buck and make a living, but the thing is that we can really do better. And as Filico said, like, there's different things that we can do. And by the way, like, there's reasons why we use certain products like concrete and steel, is because, you know, you need to structurally make sure that buildings don't fall down and that they can handle earthquakes and that they can handle the weather. Like, for instance, in Canada, I was actually having this conversation last night with a lady. She said she wanted to make a house with hempcrete. And I said, you know, a brick in Canada is not exactly something which is recommended as being the pure wall for a building, because like the shell of a building, the envelope of a building is something which is permanent, and it is the biggest determinant of energy use. So when you're using something like hempcrete, it doesn't have a high R value, and therefore it doesn't insulate to the outside well, and heat always moves from hot to cold. And so if you've got a cold wall because it's not well insulated, it's always stealing heat from people, from objects in the room. And then you've got to burn more fuel to keep that space comfortable. And that's what the biggest problem in our society is. In North America, well, I know in Canada, it's about 60% of the energy that we use in our buildings is to heat and cool them. And it's like, if you really look at it, like the difference it's 29 degrees in Costa Rica right now, and most humans are comfortable at 22 degrees. So you've got 7 degrees of buffer where you need to cool down. Cooling takes more energy than heating. So like, that's an intensive process, but to cool 7 degrees is a lot less energy than where I am when it's minus 30, or even right now it's minus 20. To go from minus 20 up to plus 22, that's 42 degrees Celsius where you need to heat. So if you're heating a cold wall, you need to use a lot of heat. So if you're building a home or a building, the best way to do that is to obviously spend more on insulation, because insulation is not going anywhere. There's no moving parts, and it's permanently there. And when it's installed properly, it works all the time, whether it's hot or it's cold. And you know, I talk about the different insulation methods in my book. And by the way, like in Canada, you're going to use a different insulation than you would in Costa Rica because of availability, but also because, like here, we don't have to. Where I live, it's a dry, cold climate, and we're more interested in insulation. That's like we don't have bugs that are going to eat through the wall all year. We don't have the moisture deteriorating the wall. We don't have as much sunshine. Directly, like affecting the materials. In Costa Rica, you have a very different situation where you want something which is very strong and durable, and insects can't get into it, and mold and mildew aren't going to get on it and ruin the structure. So there's a durability issue. It's not just about energy, it's also about durability. And those are the types of things that engineers and architects and people who are really thinking about these issues are going to deal with. But the thing is that most people are only looking at it in terms of cost and like immediate cost. They're not looking at the long-term costs of it. And the reality, and we talked about incentives a little bit earlier, is that if I'm a builder, my incentive is to make as much money as possible. And that's the way our economy is built. You can't blame someone who's in business for trying to make money, because that's the incentive. And so they're gonna do as much as they have to meet the rules and regulations, unless you specifically say, hey, I know my stuff, and I want you to do this for me. So that's why I wrote my book, is to say, hey, here's the stuff I know. Here's what I want you to do, because this is what's in my best interest. This is what is good for the environment. This is how we're going to actually start fixing these problems, is through awareness and through participation. It's not through apathy and believing everything you're told. And one thing that I tell people is, don't believe everything I say either. Question everything. Go out and do more research. Start thinking, because believe it or not, we are lied to on a daily basis in so many ways by so many different groups. And I don't know everything. Filico doesn't know everything. The thing is that we've got to make decisions, and by becoming more informed and thinking more is the way that we're actually going to start making changes and making progress in this world. So when it comes down to let's start thinking differently and saying, what are the end goals of what we're trying to do? Habit number two of the seven habits of highly effective people is, begin with the end in mind. What is the end that we want to achieve in this society? What kind of world do we want to build and create? And I think that we have the capacity to build a much more energy efficient, more sustainable, more equitable society. And the way to do that is to start thinking differently and to build systems that actually give back to us and to nature rather than continually take from it. And we've got to go back to a commercial here. We've got 30 seconds here. Do you have anything to add, Filico?
Well, it's just to narrow down, like, you know, simple principles that even Shane just told me before in our conversations. To really reduce the heating buffer that we have here in the tropical region, it's just applying a tubing of water system, water cooling, using PVC tubes to reduce the humidity level. You see, it's just a matter of learning and understanding that these are practical measures that you can do. It's not a matter of just making like a huge, you know, big research report to find out what the solutions. The solutions are here. It's just a matter of taking the steps to go for it.
Cool. And let's talk about those solutions when we come back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
And welcome back to Future Proof Radio. Before the break there, Filico and I were talking about some solutions for, you know, being more efficient and to understand that there are actually options for us to use. And I don't really want to talk specifics in this show because every situation is different. You know, there's different situations. But if you understand things like in a tropical place like Costa Rica, you need to deal with humidity. You want to make sure that you're keeping people comfortable. You don't have nearly the heating demands. Like in a place like Saskatchewan, if you're building properly, you shouldn't need an air conditioner. It's completely unnecessary because even though we reach 35 degrees Celsius, if you're well insulated enough and your windows are shaded well, your house should never get hot enough because at night it cools down naturally and you can build homes and buildings to cool down either naturally or with the proper programming. You can do what's called a building flush at night and cool off. Same thing within Costa Rica. I can't see why you would ever need a heating system in a place that's 29, 30 degrees most of the year. But one of the things we were talking about earlier today is we were at a conference center in Mexico, and people had to wear sweaters inside. And, you know, that's part of our society is that we've designed these systems and created cultural norms where we're overcooling in a warm climate or overheating in a cold climate. And it's kind of ridiculous that we don't have our buildings and our why would you want to wear clothing that's way too hot for where you are? Why would you want to spend more money to cool off a room than you have to? It's a question of better control, and I hope to do an episode specifically on automation because that's I spent 2 years working in automation as a technician, and it's definitely one of the low-hanging fruit in a lot of buildings that can be addressed. And actually, Filico talked about using different options for cooling. And one of the most interesting things is, like, in Canada, one of the options we have for heating is radiant floor heating. So you heat water and you circulate water, whether it's around the perimeter of the building or inside the floor, or even into a radiator, which is kind of the older way of heating a space. But the bottom line is, when you're heating a liquid, it's a lot more efficient than heating air, because liquid holds many, many times, I think something like 200 times as much heat as air, because those molecules are packed together into a liquid rather than an air. So it's also stays there. And one of the principles of green building, passive house, one of the things I talk about in my book is thermal mass, and using thermal mass to store heat when you need it, or to store cooling when you need it. Like I mentioned a building flush earlier, you know, if you've got a lot of mass in the house and you're cooling for free at night, the mass actually stores that heat or stores that cooling and absorbs the extra when it's not necessary. You've got a... Nature always wants to be in equilibrium. So if you've got a very well-insulated building, no matter where you are, and you've got the right-sized equipment, it shouldn't have to work too hard to provide that extra heating or extra cooling to balance out the system if you've got it optimized. And, of course, you're utilizing free heating. In Canada, passive solar design is a... It's free if you've got a south-facing orientation. You just simply put windows on the south and shade properly, and you get free heating and a great source of lighting in the winter. And in the summer, if you've shaded properly, you've got a great source of lighting, and if you're shaded properly, it stays cool for free. And this is something that was known thousands of years ago, yet... Because of the way we've built our society and the way that we build our buildings now, it's not something that we take advantage of, though we could be getting 40 to 70% in some cases free heating all year round. And I think that's just ridiculous. We've got 4 minutes left, Filico. So do you have anything to add quickly before I introduce the information for the next show?
Well, no, it's just, I just want to kind of reiterate what Shane is trying to approach, is that, you know, sustainable building is out there already, and you know, it's just a small effort to kind of, you know, shy away from the conventional way or the industrial way of thinking about things, and just looking at how you can actually effectively save your resources and energy in a much better way, so you don't have to be worried about your lighting or adding more light bulbs in your roofs. You know, finding ways to put, like, you know, different coverings on the windows, because there are methods, and it's even using, you know, simple methods that are just maybe changing the position of things. And I mean, that's also the approach that we're trying to develop here, especially for our structures and everything, is to keep it minimalist, and it's also simple, and it's comfortable at the same time. So you're not going to be against your comfort zone to try to implement things. And I mean, our ecological cabins here, I can tell you, is they're small 4x4 walls of purely wood, and I have very minimal, like, insulations, because it's not trying to change the environment, but instead it's just to bring back people into the nature of it. I mean, that's why we call it, we're in the heart of the rainforest, and you know, you don't need to have big conventional buildings, and you don't need to have thick walls, or you don't need to have, like, the highest electricity and the modern units and, you know, modern comfort to be able to feel at ease.
See, and that's the situation in Costa Rica. But if you want to learn how to do this and understand these principles, you should definitely join my mailing list at futureproofmybuilding.com and buy the ebook, because it'll get you a very good background in this. There's a free version also for joining the mailing list, but I highly recommend the ebook if you're interested in this topic. In the next show, what we're going to discuss, I've got a guest, Ron LePage. He's the owner of Verico Homes here in Saskatoon, and we actually have the same mentor. They worked together to design the first net zero home in Saskatchewan, which is a home that produces as much energy as it uses. And tune in next week for that. You can also join us on Facebook, Future Proof Solutions, as well as follow me on Twitter at Future Proof CX. C as in Charlie, X as in X-ray. If you have questions or would like to hear stuff on the show, email me at shane@futureproofradio.com. And please tune in again and let us know what you think. Thank you very much, Filico, for joining me. And if you're interested in the Eco Center, go to futureproofmybuilding.com, go to the home menu, and check out the Build a Jungle Retreat Center link that is there. And thank you for joining us, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you for making Future Proof Radio a part of your week. Please join your host, Shane Wolf, for another edition next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. See you on the next show.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.